Hello and welcome to this podcast with your host, Paul Miller. Today I talk with Will Hunsinger, Chief Executive of Evri. We discuss a little of the background to Evri and then look at some of Will's perspectives on the ways in which the semantic technology market is shaping up. We discuss both consumer and business-facing applications. For more information on this show and others in the series, please see the show notes at cloudofdata.com. Thank you. Will, thank you very much for joining me for this podcast today. Before we explore some of the broader issues that we're going to discuss, can you tell listeners a bit about yourself and your own background, please?
Sure. My name is Will Hunsinger. I'm CEO of Evri. I started in the industry, I guess, in the search industry back in the late 90s, helping build a couple of different search companies, one being business.com, which was a vertically business-focused search and directory, and then moved on to a company called Overture, which people may know of as GoTo.com, which was really the first paid search platform that ultimately became part of Yahoo. And various other things along the way, including a stint running the online e-commerce operation for retailer The Gap, but ultimately found my way back into our space and have been helping build the company Evri for about the past 7-8 months.
Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about Evri itself in a moment, but I guess, you know, a general question looking at that background. What appealed to you about semantic technology, you know, to come in and focus down on a company like Evri when you'd been addressing a broader range of issues in a more traditional sort of mainstream search market? What appealed about semantic technology?
Yeah, I would say that it was less about the specific appeal of semantic technology as the appeal of applying semantics to a real consumer problem. I think the way I look at it and the way we look at Evri is that there's a real problem on the web right now that is not necessarily well addressed by broader universal keyword search, and that is the ever-expanding amount of content and the noise that's generated with, you know, with the explosion of user-generated content, of social media, which allows for folks to share that content, both social professional content as well as user-generated content. Suddenly now, making sense of this fire hose of data has become near impossible for the average user. So what appealed to me was the use of semantic technology as a filter on this fire hose to give you a much higher level of precision and relevancy around what you're particularly interested in. If you understand the meaning of content, you can filter out all the noise and just get an intelligent stream of information delivered to you. And to me, that was a pretty big idea, and I felt like Evri had the right tools to bring that vision to fruition.
Okay, sounds good. So Evri then, what are they particularly trying to address?
So what Evri's really trying to is the problem I just articulated, which is how do you make sense of the real time or the near real time content that's being shared? How do you filter through that and find just the most relevant and complete package of information about topics that you're particularly interested in? And so what Evri is trying to do is provide consumers a platform whereby they can receive their thin slice of the stream. If they're interested in, you know, the healthcare reform debate or baseball players on, you know, the baseball players on steroids raging debate, we can apply our technology and deliver that stream of content, news, tweets, etc., to them across whatever platform that they choose to receive it. So whether it be on their desktop, on an iPhone or other smartphone device, or at on their social media platform, or even at Evri.com, they can get their information and have it pushed to them in a way that's very compelling and filters through all the noise.
And where does the content come from that Evry's working with? Is this another crawl of the open web, or are you drilling down in particular verticals?
We're focused largely on the news and blog space. So we're not trying to crawl the entire web to include more evergreen content, like, you know, for example, recipes or how-to manuals. We really are focused on temporal, perishable content, news, breaking news and information, insight via blogs, et cetera. So it's that piece of the web. And what we're doing is we acquire that content in multiple ways, but primarily we're ingesting thousands and thousands of feeds on a minute-by-minute basis and using natural language processing technology to index them. And then once they're in our this massive semantic index, we can then obviously query that index and deliver the slices, the semantic slices, however you know, we choose to, or however the user wants to receive it.
Okay, and who is that user at the moment? What's the kind of person that would benefit directly from what Evry does today?
It ranges from the what I would call the enthusiast news junkie, if you will, someone who's very passionate about a particular topic, to someone who's I call it the cup of coffee, get my daily dose and cup of coffee in the morning of whatever topic I'm interested in. So I'm a startup CEO. I like to follow other companies in the search or information retrieval discovery space. I like to see who gets funded. So for me, getting a feed from Evry that really has combined and filtered through all the sources like TechCrunch and VentureBeat and these types of VentureWire, these types of sources, and then I have my cup of coffee in the morning and I get up to date on all the information that's important to me.
Okay. And where does the money come from to pay for this?
Evry is funded by Vulcan Ventures, which is the investment arm of Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. So there are single investors. So the Vulcan Ventures and Paul are really the foundational money behind Evry.
Okay. And can you say anything at this stage about where the sort of the long-term revenue streams will come from?
Sure. We really have two sources of revenue for the company. We have a business that is a subscription-based business where companies, primarily media and publishing companies, subscribe to our API beyond the limit that we allow folks to use it for free in order to enhance the experience for their audience on their website. So a good example of customers that we currently have would be the Hearst Corporation, and we've had the Washington Post are two of our current customers on the API side, and then we have a website at evry.com, as well as an iPhone application, which we are currently we have a little bit of advertising on, but we're looking at we're exploring the most appropriate ways to incorporate product and service offerings within the context of our user experience without, obviously without diluting or impacting the experience that we deliver to consumers.
Okay, and these commercially focused solutions that people like Hearst and the Washington Post are taking, are these white label on their site, or would a visitor to that site know that Evry was helping them?
They'll know that Evry's there. In the case of Hearst, it's a co-marketing partnership. So when you go to their sites that have our technology incorporated, you'll see that it's delivered by Evry, branded by Hearst, but with attribution to Evry.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, this whole sort of semantic search market is an interesting one, and one that's changing quite rapidly. I guess it started off by differentiating itself from the traditional search engines.
In ways that actually those traditional search engines have begun to catch up with. We're seeing things like rich snippets from Yahoo. We're seeing things like Search Monkey. Sorry, rich snippets from Google. Search Monkey from Yahoo. How does the semantic search market continue to differentiate itself? Or actually, should it stop worrying about that and focus on differentiation in some other area?
So, yeah, I mean, that's the hardest question is, I think if anybody walked into my office and said, you know, we're going to go head-to-head with Google or Microsoft in a universal semantic search because we feel like the meaning-based or semantic-based search is going to be the Google killer, right? I think that I would probably, when I stopped laughing, I would show them to the door, right? I think that I will be the last one to say that there's not, you know, some startup somewhere working to build the next great consumer-facing brand on the web, right? Because every time we think that the game is over, there's the next innovation comes along and these huge companies explode. So, it's not to say that it's impossible, but I don't know that I believe that going head-to-head in a general semantic search or universal search based on semantic technologies is the appropriate approach. I do think that there's huge opportunities that I call around the box, right? So if you think of Google or even Bing, even though Bing's got sort of the background on their pages now, as a white box, and that's universal search, well, you know, evergreen content is well served by keywords. It's the average consumer. It's good enough. It's they can get what they need to get. But around the edges, in either different types of content, different types of contexts, or different modalities, there is still, I think, tremendous opportunity for the application of semantic technology to deliver a compelling consumer value proposition. I think you only need to look at the acquisition of Faircast, for example, by Microsoft in the travel space, which really became a travel search. And I'm not sure how deep the semantic technology is beneath Faircast, but that gives you an example of, for example, a vertical search. I think there's wide open opportunity in mobile still. In our case, or in every, we look at the push delivery of content based on a user's implied or expressed preferences as far more compelling than forcing them to come to a search box and search several times. So if you've already said, I'm really interested in the healthcare debate, please give me all the breaking news or new alerts about the healthcare debate, you can get that on your phone relatively straightforward, and it doesn't have to be confined to a single publication or a single source. So that's an example of an application potentially of semantic technology in a consumer way that has not yet been addressed by the big boys. I think that there's still opportunities in different content types. So, you know, we haven't really done a great job at the end of the day in images and video. And again, those are highly dependent on the on the metadata that surrounds them or the ability to extract metadata from them, but there's still opportunities there. So if you look around the box and you don't try and sort of attack it head on, I think that there's certainly lots of opportunity. Now on the other side, in the enterprise, I think we've seen far more traction in other areas in the enterprise and application of semantic technologies, largely because I think we've put ourselves in a box where we said, well, you know, historically some semantic technologies didn't scale to web scale, but they're perfectly fine within the enterprise, and we can apply them there. And certainly there are problems that we've been able to solve with semantic search technologies within enterprise applications that are pretty compelling. I personally am not. I think there's lots of because a lot of the problems that you face at web scale are not problems necessarily in the enterprise. I don't find that space particularly interesting. It allows for lower barriers to entry, and lots of people can fight over pieces of that market. But ultimately, I think that the real unlock in terms of a building a great company is more in solving problems for consumers.
I would agree that there's huge potential addressing the consumer market, but How do we describe these value propositions in a way that makes sense to a consumer? Because actually, you know, a lot of the benefits, you kind of have to try it to see it. And you also have to invest a reasonable amount of time before you begin to get some of that value coming back. So how do we describe something like Evry or something like Siri or any of the other ones that are doing different pieces of the consumer space in a way that a consumer will say, I'm interested enough to download this application and invest some time seeing if it works for me?
Sure. No, that's a good point. I think adoption is one of the bigger problems that we all struggle with. If I'm being honest, I think that sometimes those of us in the space have a tendency to try and help consumers understand what semantic technology can do, how cool it is, right? How much better, for example, the results can be, or the interesting things that you can do, and they don't care. They don't even, most of them, 99.9% don't even know the meaning of semantic. I think what we need to do, to me, what's interesting is that if the consumer doesn't care, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about trying to explain to them the technology or explain to them why meaning-based is better than keyword or better than some other technology because it's going to give you a much more precise result. Build an application that's really demonstrative of how cool it is. So, you know, it may not be for a higher purpose, for example, but you know, being able to push to someone information about celebrity gossip, whatever, celebrities entering rehab or celebrities, actors divorcing actresses, that's a semantic triple, and they don't care, but man, they're really, really interested in it. So the approach that we've taken is go to the domain spaces where consumers are rabid about getting the information and build an application that makes it really simple to get it and really simple and really compelling once they have it, and then off you go. And then I think that you can drive adoption through them. Now, obviously, there's some things that we need to do to help that process along. We've chosen to partner with folks like the Hearst Corporation who already have an audience to say, well, if we can get it, instead of trying to generate an audience and then generate adoption and then ultimately get them to do repeat usage, let's partner with a media company that already has an audience, that already trusts their brand, and will have a propensity to adopt. And if we build a pretty darn compelling application, and we partner with them to break down some of the adoption walls for trial, then perhaps we can accelerate the process and get them to try. But nowhere along the way do we feel like we need to anymore. I think we did in the early days explain what we were doing under the covers.
Yes, yeah, I think I would agree there has been a tendency in the past to, we're using semantic technology, aren't we clever? and
right, exactly,
to a lot of people, actually, no, you're not very clever. The words are too big.
Exactly. We tend to, outsmart ourselves. I always like to say to my guys, we'll sit around and eventually we have to kind of look at each other and go, are we just talking to ourselves here or are we really talking to the consumer? And more often than not, you catch yourself talking amongst yourself.
Yes. Although I think celebrity gossip may be the missing business model. I think that's quite compelling.
Go.
Yeah, I think there's something there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't mention it in the history of Evry, but originally we acquired the foundational natural language processing technology from a company called Insightful Corporation back in a few years ago, and it was a group of scientists that were doing work, for DARPA, some DARPA work, as well as in the bio and pharma, and it was really deep text mining, NLP processing, and analytics. And I like to say now when I talk about celebrity analytics or celebrity gossip, I go, boy, how we've gone from, we've really aspired to a higher purpose now that we've gone from DARPA work to celebrity gossip. I wonder.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, you described the model in relation to Hearst as one way to sort of build an audience and build a brand, build recognition, and then sort of grow from there. Are there other sort of partnerships like that that leap to mind as ways to move into other verticals?
That leap to mind, for example, you mean verticals beyond sort of just media and entertainment? I think there are. I think, you know, historically you've seen it here and there. I think back in the day you saw Relegence. So Relegence was doing a lot of work in using semantics against real-time data to understand trends in the financial services industry. And ultimately they were acquired by AOL for application into. So, you know, I think that there are different or unique problems in different verticals where you could ultimately partner with best of breed in that vertical and jump. We've been so focused as a startup and you know, trying to be focused on the really on the news and the conversation around the news that we haven't invested a tremendous amount of energy into other verticals, but I can certainly see the applicability there.
Okay. And you're convinced then that there's enough of a market for sort of long-term growth for a company like Evri, or is actually the solution to be bought by News International or Microsoft or Google or whoever it may be to have that technology integrated into what they offer to their existing audience?
Well, I think that there's a compelling consumer value proposition here. Well, you know, what the next 4 or 5 years holds, you never know. You know, I see acquisitions like, you know, where Microsoft has acquired a PowerSet, for example, and you just don't know, because you can't see behind the curtains how deeply that technology is being applied within the greater Bing infrastructure. You see bits and pieces in terms of the, you know, rich snippets or the most relevant snippets and things like that in the search results. So I'm not ready to, at this point, with Evri, or, you know, I know we have some competitors out there. I'm not willing to say that the right thing to do here is to build this thing for just to be acquired. I think that there's, we've seen way too much energy and positive feedback from consumers, as well as partners and potential partners, about the value proposition that we're delivering direct to consumer to say that there's not a market there. So I definitely am bullish on what we're bringing to the table, and in fact, even more bullish now that we're getting close to what I call EV2, Evri version 2, which will, the first incarnation will launch in about a month. More to come on that front. But yeah, I definitely think that there's something here. There's a real problem to be solved. And I think that our technology and our approach is uniquely suited to solving that problem, to being a filter and allowing folks to navigate the type of content that we're indexing in a way that's compelling to them and delights them with the serendipity of discovering the next piece of information. So we're going to focus on that, and whether or not we become more valuable to and can reach more consumers via a standalone company or in partnership with another company that has an audience, that'll take care of itself.
Indeed. So you talked there a bit about sort of consuming expanding and growing to web scale, in terms of addressing a consumer audience. One of the concerns that's often been raised in the past about semantic technologies of various kinds is scalability. You reasonably happy that Evri and the way you've built it will scale for all the users that are going to come to you?
I am, actually. That was one of the, that was probably, you know, on the technological side, one of my greatest concerns walking in the door in an area of deep due diligence that I did in cooperation with some of my colleagues who are stronger in that area than others. And I think that Evri because we both know, right? Silicon Valley is littered with, quote unquote, semantic web technology companies that never were able to scale. But I think we've got a pretty unique approach to content ingestion and indexing. Even though we use sophisticated NLP, which can be a resource hog, as we know, we've figured out a way to get that in and indexed in near real time. And I feel like the way that we've distributed our index and the way that it's accessed is pretty unique and scales. So far we haven't seen what the top end of that is. We have tens of thousands of sources of content that we ingest, within minutes, and are available in our index within minutes, and our responses to queries are as fast as anybody out there. So I'm not worried about it from every perspective, other than the natural paranoia of a startup CEO that's afraid of the wall that's around the corner.
you would be crazy not to be watching out for that wall, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. Especially at the speed that we try and run, right?
So you mentioned every version 2. Can you say anything about what we might see coming down the line in that?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. It's always hard to describe a user experience in words, but what you're going to see with every version 2 is really a couple things. First of all, it's going to be more stream-based. So whatever vertical or sub-vertical category that you're particularly interested in, say it's in the financial services vertical, you're interested in M&A, companies getting acquired, that type of thing. We're going to give you the real-time or the near real-time stream around those highly targeted categories. It will continue to evolve to be more social, but what we really want to do with every version 2 is give you the stream, but also expose all the data attributes around the players in the stream. So if you imagine the web or the real-time web as a giant fire hose of data, within that fire hose there are particularly interesting and emerging memes, the healthcare debate, companies that Microsoft acquired, what have you, and we want to extract those and deliver them to you in these streams, these intelligent streams, intelligent buckets, and then allow you to pivot on them, because within that intelligent stream are entities and facets and attributes of those entities that would allow you to either slice the stream even more finely, or even pivot on different attributes and follow a whole new stream or a whole new path of information to discover. So every version 2 is going to be about that, about delivering the streams and about enabling the consumer to find their way around this information in a way that they want to and in a much more compelling user experience.
Okay.
Again, it's hard to describe.
Well,
hard
indeed,
to describe.
Yes.
Without showing it to you.
and this is sort of continuing the trend as well of enabling these capabilities off the every.com site. So I don't need to go and log into every.com to get this, all of these capabilities.
Right. In fact, in February, we'll launch a desktop app Adobe Air based that will allow you to receive these alerts around streams of information that you're interested in. So I'm interested in everything about Barack Obama. So please send it to me and give me a visual cue when there's new information. But we will also be rolling out our mobile applications, both for we have one now that's more of a demo, but both for iPhone and Droid, you'll be able to get your celebrity gossip on your iPhone if that's what you're so inclined to do.
My celebrity gossip or the latest trends affecting my company. depending upon my perspective.
And you know what? Oftentimes that's the same consumer and just in a different mode.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yes. Okay, good. It sounds like every version 2 is one to watch out for then. Could be interesting.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited about it. It's the closest articulation to the vision that I had for every coming in the door. So I'm excited to get it out there and see what people think.
Sounds good. Now, I'm conscious of the time. Are there any questions you really wish I'd asked you that I didn't, that you'd like to answer anyway?
That's always good. I appreciate you giving me that platform. I think if I could just... I think I'm good. I think we talked about it. The one thing, I guess, if I could leave with anyone who's listening here is we talk a lot about making sense of whatever technology is. At its core, what we're trying to do is filter through all the conversations that are happening on the web about the themes that the web, as a proxy for the world, feels that are important. We're not trying to be a search engine. We're not trying to be anything that we're not. We're really trying to be an intelligent filter for these conversations so that you can ultimately get the information that you follow the information that you want and then participate in that conversation. So if I could leave folks with that is it's really about enabling consumers to participate in those conversations on the web that they deem important.
Okay. Yep. Sounds like a useful and sensible thing to want to do. So thank you very much for your time. And I look forward to seeing version 2. Thank you.
Great. I will definitely give you a heads up.
Great. Thank you. Goodbye.